So good news, there's only 51 days, or rather 51 Sundays, till Christmas. So we are heading steadily into the new year. Bring on the turkey. Well, it's quite obvious looking at me that I'm not full, although we are wearing a similar sort of shirt today, that I'm not John, Jono, Damon, or Jordan, and Dan. And for that very reason, I thought I'd give you, it would be a good introduction to give you some of my credentials. So my name is Graham Downing. I am 1.65 meters tall. I'm 45 years of age. I know, it's hard to believe. My blood type is O positive. I was born and bred in South Africa, if that wasn't already obvious by my accent. I do speak in tongues, and more specifically Afrikaans. I am the eldest of three siblings. My dad works as a civil engineer, and my mom worked as a registered nurse. My parents are Christian and still live in South Africa. I grew up in a Christian home, and at the age of 11, I gave my life to the Lord. At the age of 16, I decided to be confirmed and publicly declared my faith and commitment to Jesus. Sorry, can I turn this off? Is it off? I finished my year 12 in 1997, which was just the other day. And after finishing high school, I spent 6 months proving that I shouldn't be a civil engineer. And in 1999, I took up studies as a graphic designer. I completed the 3-year course as top student of the year, and I worked in different agencies for 4 years after that. In 2006, I sort of changed careers and took up a post as a lecturer in a private uni. I ended up working there for 13 and a half years teaching graphic design, and in that period I taught certificate level, year one, year two, year three, and I did some honors supervision. I also studied further towards my degree in graphic design, and I completed a master's in education. I was also awarded the title of senior lecturer, and I have co-authored and published a chapter in an academic journal. In June of 2019, I moved with my family to Australia with my awesome wife, Diane, and my two children. Zoe, my firstborn, will be 15 in a few weeks' time, and Troy is 12. In 2020, I completed the Cert 4 through the internship. I work at ACC School here in Albany, and in 2023, I taught graphic design to the year 11 and 12 students as distance ed students, and I also filmed and edited other marketing content for the school. I have a bus driver's license, and I have a CASA-approved drone license, which makes me a pilot too. And a fun fact, at the age of 17, I competed as a Latin American ballroom dancer. And I know what you're thinking. You're probably thinking a couple of things right now. Was he on Dancing with the Stars? Who let this guy through the front door and up onto the stage? And should we give this guy a job? If you're thinking about asking me about the Latin American dancing, please don't. I don't want to talk about it. Well, despite me ranting on about myself, you'll be pleased to know that my talk today is not about me and what I've done. But I do have a reason for giving the lengthy introduction, and I'll come to that a bit later. Today's talk is about God, and every talk in the pulpit of the church should be. And more specifically, it's about God's credentials and what he has done. So we're looking at the next Hallelujah Psalm in the series, Psalm 147. And I've titled the talk, Praise the Lord for His Credentials. Last weekend, Phil introduced us to the five Hallelujah Psalms. And I spent some time looking at specifically Psalm 146. And as a quick recap, hallelujah, as we were reminded earlier, is a combination of two Hebrew words, hallel, which means to praise or extol the greatness of someone or something, and Yahweh, which is the covenant name of God. So literally, hallelujah means praise God or praise the Lord, but not any God or Lord, but the God who made promises to Israel and that were fulfilled in Jesus. It's also important to remember that hallelujah is a command, again, as we were reminded earlier, and means we must praise the Lord. Rather than looking up to God and saying hallelujah, praise the Lord, it's really looking to the people, to you and I, and calling out hallelujah, praise the Lord. Theological scholars have suggested that the 150 chapters of Psalms can be divided into five categories of books, or books as such. Book of Psalms. Book 4 is a grouping of psalms that pleads to God to bring the people out of exile. Book 5 is the grouping of praise songs that declare God has done exactly that. He has freed his people from exile. Last week we saw that Psalm 146 focuses on the individual, you and I, being called to praise the Lord. And we looked at the reasons for why, as individuals, we should praise the Lord. Today's passage, Psalm 147, sees the individuals of Israel gathering as a community to praise our God. The psalmist has helpfully stated the focus of the psalm in verse 1. How pleasant and fitting it is to praise the Lord. Verse 2 to 20 expands on why it is pleasant and fitting, and does so by outlining God's credentials, his track record, as it were. It gives evidence for why God's people should give him praise. Have a look at the passage. Just about every verse begins with he. Have no misunderstanding. This psalm is all about God and what he has done. He heals, he gathers, he determines, he covers, he supplies, he provides, he strengthens, he grants, he sends, he heals, he has revealed, he has done. My first point, praise the Lord, he is mighty in power. You see, he, God, builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the exiles out of Israel, verse 2. He heals and binds up the wounds, verse 3. He casts stars into the heavens and names them and numbers them. He sustains the humble but casts out the wicked. He commands the seasons. He strengthens, blesses, and grants peace. So ponder on this for a moment. The God who names and numbers the stars is the same God who bends down and heals and binds up our wounds. The creator of the universe, a limitless God, becomes small to heal the brokenhearted and bind up our wounds. And yet, what would please such an almighty and powerful God? Well, verse 10 states, it's not the worldly things that would please an earthly king, such as military strength and power, strong horses, and the strong legs of men. No, our great and mighty God delights in those who fear him and put their hope in his unfailing love. At the private uni I worked in South Africa, a new program was launched with new facilities. and a high-profile politician and tribal leader was invited to come and cut the ribbon and sort of officially open the facilities. And it was common to have a traditional praise singer lead this person into the event. They would prepare the crowds to welcome the leader. And I remember standing on the side with goosebumps as the praise singer was shouting at the top of their voice, calling on the ancestors for blessings and the crowds for praise. It was guttural, it was unsettling, and exciting all at the same time. And no matter what my political affiliation was, I couldn't help but be in awe of this leader. Apparently, and I say apparently because I wasn't there to see it, but on the 22nd of August 2019, Mark McGowan flew into Albany for the day to speak about the construction of Albany's Garden Inn Hotel and the opening of the Eastern Precinct of the redeveloped Centennial Park. I was fairly new to Australia, but clearly things are done very differently when the state premier pulls into town. Everyone is calm. There's no fanfare. There's no roadblocks. No rioting. No breathalyzer tests. And certainly no military standing on the side just in case. Just a normal, quiet Thursday. I mean, at least make it a Saturday, right? Make it a Saturday and we get Bunnings and IGA to throw in a free snag at the end of the day, right? Seriously? But of course, these leaders' credentials for praise pale in insignificance to the sovereign mighty and power of God. This psalm was written, Psalm 147, so that we would be God's praise singers, you and I. As we think of the world today, the hot topic of climate change, new wars and continuing conflicts scattered throughout our world. We think of dominant nations racing to take control of the world economy. World leaders planning and acting as if they are in control. It's not unreasonable to think that, what will the future hold? But, as the psalmist writes, come what may, our God is mighty in power. He is in control of his world. He will strengthen, bless, grant peace. It is good, pleasant, and fitting to praise the Lord. My second point, the second credential of God, praise the Lord, he actively loves. The psalmist has highlighted God's credentials as sovereign in power. But he also points out at how God is actively demonstrating his love. He gathers, he provides, heals, sustains, and protects. Note that these verses are not stated in the past tense. They are written in the present tense. The psalmist is indicating that God is not at rest. God is currently doing these things. He is gathering his people. He is building his church. He is providing for all of creation. Not just his people. He is healing the brokenhearted and sick. He is sustaining all things. He is protecting and providing peace. He is continuing to do them all. God is demonstrating his love implicitly. He continues to manifest his love in and through his creation, even today. We are now 1 week into the new year, and I'm pretty sure we all have given some thought to the year that was and to the year that will be. For some of us, maybe it's been a pretty good year. For some of us, maybe we found it a mixed year. And for others, maybe it's a year we would rather forget. And I would imagine that we've given some thought to what we hope the year will bring. Lower costs of living, more peace, an end to wars, good health, good weather, good crops, no pandemics, better returns on our investments. It's also a time when we may reflect on what we could be changed or do differently, on creating lists of New Year's resolutions. Do more exercise, eat healthy, spend less time on social media, yell. Read more books, get higher grades, make more money, lower my carbon footprint, work harder, work less, have more fun, have less fun. And the list goes on. Not that these things are bad in themselves, but we busy our lives with distractions. And when the things don't go our way, when we get bad news or our plans fail, we begin to worry. We panic. We become anxious. The more we try to take control, the more we become focused on ourselves. It's quite obvious from the psalm that God loves his creation and actively displays his love. But notice he doesn't exclusively love his people. No, all creation benefits from his love, even the ravens. He is healing the brokenhearted and sick. He is sustaining all things. He is protecting and providing peace. He is continuing to doing them all. God is actively demonstrating his love. And we will bring it a bit closer to home. If you are currently sick or anxious, worrying about the pending results from the doctor, or the anticipation of the answer from the uni or job application, distressed about conflict within the family, within the church family, maybe you're feeling brokenhearted or grieving the loss of a loved one. Know that God loves you, and all God desires of you is for you and I to put our hope in his unfailing love. His love never fails. His love will never fail. It is good, pleasant, and fitting to praise our Lord. Look at how he is loving. My third point, the third sort of credential from the psalm is praise the Lord, God has revealed himself. Of the five hallelujah psalms, this is the only one that mentions God's word. That's in verse 15, 18, and 19. It's through this word, God's word, that God gives his commands. It's how God displays his power over the elements. And it's how this word, or it's rather this word that gives God's people their laws and decrees. Verse 19 and 20. He has revealed his word to Jacob, his laws and decrees to Israel. He has done this for no other nation. They do not know his laws. The psalmist is reminding us of the covenant God made with Jacob in Genesis chapter 28, 13 to 15. And he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land in which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go. And I will bring you back to this land. And I will not leave you until I've done what I've promised you. God redeemed a people for himself. Jacob's children eventually formed the 12 tribes of Israel. And it's from them that God makes himself, to them that God makes himself explicitly known. So that through the nation of Israel, all people on earth will be blessed. Of the whole psalm, this is probably the most significant praise point, the most significant credential. We could not know God if God did not reveal himself first through his word. In the beginning of this talk, I shared some of my credentials. I told you about myself, things you wouldn't have known. Some of those things I mentioned would have been pretty obvious to see. My height, my ethnicity, the color of my eyes, my rugged good looks. But a lot of the other information wouldn't have been as obvious. I needed to communicate it with you. I needed to reveal myself to you if you were to know who I am and how to relate to me. This is what God did. The God who threw stars into the sky, who knows how many stars there are, who names those stars, he revealed himself through his word. In the first couple of verses in John's gospel, we see that in the beginning was the word. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God. And the word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. And the very same word becomes flesh. In John chapter 1, verse 14, the word becomes flesh and made his dwelling amongst us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. The same word that created the stars, numbered the stars, and named the stars, is the same word that becomes flesh, Jesus. And it's through Jesus, God's word, that his mighty power and unfailing love is revealed. The ultimate demonstration of God's love for his people in the form of hope. God in person. God's Son, Jesus. Jesus fulfilled the laws and decrees that Israel could not. Jesus was obedient to God in all things, sinless. When Jacob, Israel, you and I were not. The mighty and powerful, all-loving God became small. and dwelt among his people as their forever king. And ultimately, died as a perfect sacrifice for the sins of his people, so that we can have an intimate and direct relationship with the mighty and powerful God. It is good, pleasant, and fitting to praise our Lord. Look at what he is doing. He is mighty in power, sovereign, in control of everything. Nothing is outside of his control. He actively loves you and I. Every day, every moment, the fact that we have breath in our lungs means he loves us. And he has revealed himself to you and I through his Son, through his Word, Jesus. He desires a relationship with us. We are moving swiftly into a new year, a year of unknowns, a year of trials, of ups and downs. And you might be in a season of trials right now, or a season of joy and blessings. But can I encourage you that if you are a believer today, if you have put your faith and hope in the everlasting God, could I encourage you to remember God's credentials and praise the Lord each day? Tell others how good it is to sing praises to our God, how pleasant and fitting it is to praise him. If you aren't yet committed to putting your trust and faith in God, if you haven't made that commitment yet, if you haven't accepted God's word, Jesus as God's ultimate demonstration of his love, could I encourage you to ponder the credentials of God, to hear the praises of others to the Lord, to know that God has revealed himself to you. You can know God through Jesus and have a real hope in the promises of a loving God. And if you want to know more about putting your faith in God, putting your hope in an unloving God, putting your hope in the ultimate love of God, please come speak to me or to one of the pastors in the church. Praise the Lord. How good it is to sing praises to our God. How pleasant and fitting it is to praise him. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Lord God, you are a mighty, powerful, and amazing God who desires to have an intimate personal relationship with us. Lord, may we ponder on these words. May we sing these praises. May we sing these praises loud, Lord, in worship and honor of a mighty, powerful, loving, and revealing God. May your Holy Spirit work in our hearts, Lord. Fill us with your Spirit, that we might live this truth and believe these credentials wholeheartedly, Lord, each day of this coming year. Amen.